I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. Every week, we check in with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy advice. And today, we are talking about a topic that's very serious for a lot of parents, how their children play and what they play with. Now, I think it's fair to say that many of us grew up with the idea, or at least we were given the idea, that girls played dress-up or with dolls, while things like toy guns or cars or blocks were for boys. Now the company that makes Legos is challenging that with sets of blocks made especially for girls. The new line is called Friends, and here's a clip from an ad promoting it.
Drive by Olivia's house, past the vet with all the pets, to the newly built cafe. We're here. Let's all help out. Make burgers, shakes, bake the cupcakes, and we're open. Our first customer. It's perfect. Welcome to the world of Lego Friends. New Lego Friends.
Now, Lego says their research showed that parents and their daughters wanted toys like these, but some critics say these toys, with their shopping and primping Lego characters, are teaching girls all the wrong lessons. Last week, I spoke with freelance writer Bailey Shoemaker Richard. She's a young woman who was so offended by these new toys that she started an online petition against them, and here's what she had to say.
It's very focused on hanging out, on appearance, on beauty shops, and it's a very narrow and limiting sort of idea of what girlhood Lego experience should be.
Now, Bailey went on to say that she's already gotten 45,000 signatures on her online petition. And we also got a lot of comments after that conversation. Some applauded the company for bringing girls into the fold, but others felt that the new Legos focused too much on stereotypes of women. So who better to talk about this than our mom's panel? And I'm joined now by Sarah Mazes. She is the mom of three. That includes two girls, and she also has boy-girl twins who are 8 years old. She writes a blog called Mommy Light Online. Carrie Goldman is a mom of three girls. She also has a blog. It's called Portrait of an Adoption. And Rupa Unakrishnan is the mom of 8.5-year-old twins. You know that half is very important, a boy and a girl, as am I. And welcome to you all. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Hey, Michelle.
Thank you.
Hello.
Now, Sarah, do I have this right? You also used to work in the toy industry, correct?
I did. I worked at Mattel, and I have worked on Barbie.
Okay, and you've worked on Barbie, a Barbie person. Now, you told us that you think the people who say they're offended by Lego are being, and I'm quoting here, ridiculous, and that you are standing up for your daughter's right to their girliness. Tell us what you mean by that.
There are a few things that will make me really, you know, just get passionate and dig my heels in, and this is one of them. And I just feel like, I don't know if it's because I've read a lot lately in the news about parents who are encouraging gender-neutral children. They don't even reveal the gender of their children. But having boys and girls, I can tell you that innately, they have different play patterns. Their role models are different. What they want to play with is different. And to deny that, I think, is extracting from a child the ability to create an identity. And it just drives me insane when people dig their heels into the ground and say, you have to allow a girl the opportunity to play with gender-neutral toys. You have to allow them the opportunity to explore who they are. And I completely agree. But what if who they are is girly?
So in a way, you're saying, like, if people are saying, when you hear gender neutral, what you really say, what you're really hearing is be like a boy and play with what boys want, and boys are kind of the norm. Is that kind of it fit into the boy context?
It's that's part of it. I'm hearing be like a boy. I'm hearing deny your sex. That's what I'm hearing. And
all
that's
right.
What's frustrating.
All right.
Me.
Tell us how you really feel, Sarah. Maybe you'll come out of your shell later in the park. Now, Carrie, your daughter's story made national headlines about a year ago.
International.
Yeah. Because you wrote about this. She was teased for carrying a Star Wars water bottle to school by kids who told her that Star Wars was only for boys. But despite that, you have a beef with these new Lego products. Tell us how you feel about this.
Well, obviously the counterpoint to Sarah. I'm one of the moms who believes that the stereotype in the marketing is offensive. And there's an important distinction, however. I don't have a problem with the pink blocks or with creating Legos that appeal to some of the interests that have not been represented so far in Legos. My problem is that they're marketing it as those interests have to be the realm of the girls. And so what happens is you have girls who are being told, you have to play with the beauty set. You have to play with the cafe. And then if you want to play with the engineering sets or this and that, you have to walk over to the regular, you know, the boy aisle to get those. And you create situations where kids who are pretty susceptible to marketing messages, they observe this and they listen. And then you have boys who see girls like my daughter and say, oh, no, you can't, you know, you can't play with the Harry Potters or the Star Wars sets because those are the boys sets. And it can lead to bullying and other problems. And it actually goes both ways, because I've also seen boys express an interest in playing with some of these cafes or beauty parlors. And now they're being taunted because they're being told that stuff is for girls. You're a sissy. So I think it's great to offer a full range of Lego products. I think it's great to offer a beauty, you know, a beauty products and whatnot, but just put them all in one place. Don't gender label them. Don't say these are for the girls, these are for the boys. You know, definitely put all different kinds of products out there and then let the kids choose.
Rupa, where are you on this?
I'd sort of come right in the middle. No, I'd say that I'm a little further from Sarah in that I'd say that my vision is a little more integrated. I have to tell you, I'm one of those people who grew up rifle shooting in India, right? So it's not normal, but it just felt normal to me in the sense of there wasn't a sense that that's not what girls do in our household. And I suspect that part of this, what sort of irks some of us about these pink, you know, hairdresser and vet shop kind of toys is that it doesn't allow for integration. What I'd love for Lego to do is to say, okay, so we have this line for the girl who really does want to be, you know, to gravitate there. But there are the girls like mine who would like to see more female Jedi characters in the sky, you know, the Star Wars pack, right? I think that's what the inherent need is. They have this broader range of Wii games, for example, and they have now this series on TV called Ninjago. And it sort of irks me and irks my daughter, who's 8 and a half, and who said, that's really unfortunate that this character, the girl character, is just standing there screaming for help and has to pretend to be some sort of mysterious character and not let her ninja out. That's how she actually phrased it. And so this sort of sense of shame in being integrated into being a ninja is kind of what sort of permeates here.
So the whole thing that boys are active, girls are passive.
Yeah.
And you feel it kind of reinforces this idea, even if the girl is not. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about why it is that toys seem to still be marketed mainly for boys or for girls. Is that okay? Is that not okay? And what sparked our conversation was a conversation we had earlier about Legos, which has brought out a new line of blocks for girls, which sparked an online petition protesting it. And I'm joined by Rupa Unnikrishnan. That's who was speaking just now. She's a mom of 8 and a half-year-old twins. Carrie Goldman is a mom of 3 girls, and she's a blogger. And Sarah Mazes is also a mom of 3. She also has boy-girl twins, and she also blogs. Let's bring in a comment. You know, we ask listeners, you know, what do you think about this? I'll give you a comment from one of our listeners, Alex Hardberger, who called our comment line, and this is what he had to say.
Yes, there is a stereotype that it is buying into so that Lego can sell more Legos and make more money, but it's not a stereotype they created, and it's not their job to break it.
Well, Carrie, what about that? Why don't you
weigh
in on that?
Well, it's funny. Yes, I actually wrote an article called Dear Lego, I Have a Girl, and he commented, it's not a stereotype they created. And that's where I disagree. You know, if you spend years and years putting Legos in a boy aisle, and in those sets are adventure toys and Star Wars toys, and you leave girls out of a lot of your marketing, and you've had a stated marketing strategy that has said you're targeting boys, how can you turn around and say you haven't created the stereotype when now you realize, oh, wait, you know, we're missing, as they put it, 50% of the population. We want to target them now. And you roll out, you know, the hair dryers and the beauty cafes. Well, then you have created the stereotype. Well, and now you're trying to profit from the stereotype.
Sarah, what do you think about that?
I'm sorry. I have to say, I feel like they haven't created the stereotype. There's a stereotype, I believe, and I know I'm going to take so much heat for this, there's a stereotype that exists. There, for the most part, we are natural beings, and I just can't help but feel like so much of this, for a lot of us, I'm not saying for everyone, is programmed into our DNA, certain role-playing. I mean, having worked at a toy company like Mattel and having sat in on focus groups and spoken with parents and spoken with children and also seeing my own kids, boys and girls, their natural proclivity towards cars and my girls towards role-play, it's so innate, we can't fight it. I definitely agree that there is... How much are the toy companies playing into it? On top of that, how much are the toy stores where the toy companies actually have to sell into and fit onto the aisles play into it? It is a huge issue that extends way beyond the parents' pocketbook, way beyond the marketers at the toy companies. This is a huge conversation, and it is not...
So you're saying, so what's so terrible? Okay. So what's so terrible? It's not. Yeah, is it their job to change 2,000 years of social history?
So exactly. That's no. Go ahead.
Hold on. Sarah, let Rupa.
I'm up.
Okay. So this is Rupa, and maybe Sarah, you threw the gauntlet down. Maybe I'll take it up gently.
Good.
In that, I think there are three ways to think about it. One is you see truly responsible TV making, TV programming done by companies that actually go in and bring a child psychologist, an anthropologist, a linguist into play, just to make sure that they are not underscoring and the stereotype that exists out there. Because to some extent, a company like Lego has some amount of responsibility in trying to help a parent in bringing up children in a sort of a more balanced environment than the 2,000 years of stereotyping developed. And the third
let me hold on. Let me get in this. Yeah. Finish your thought, then I want to ask you something.
So I think the third element, though, which I think is in keeping with what that statement was, the quote is, it is actually my job as a parent to actually make the decision. So I will not be going out and buying that toy. And when the kids were younger, I went out and very consciously found a company that build more neutral toys. It's called Zolo, and it has nothing that sort of suggests that this is a boy's toy. So I think it is at the end, it's up to the parent to drive and design the child's experience.
Let me ask Rupa this. Hold on, let me jump in.
This is Carrie.
No. Let me get into this. Rupa, you have a business background, okay?
Yes.
So the question I have for you is, why do you say that it is Lego's responsibility to enforce any particular set of values other than the one that the marketplace will bear?
Right. Well, so it is a question that you can look at it both ways. One is, you have a responsibility. I mean, I've come from a couple of industries where they take their responsibilities really seriously. Healthcare and sort of, mutual funds, where you really do want to make sure that the outcome is what your client needs and wants. So that's one. And if Lego's hearing that the client just needs girly girls, well, there you go. That's a decision they made. But secondly, it's also about slicing and dicing what the sort of future looks like to some extent. And if I'm not going to be spending money on this, and if they actually have decided that they don't want my demographic, that's great. But guess what?
Totally,
they don't have my demographic.
Money on this.
Okay, Carrie, what did you want to say?
Great. I just wanted to say,
Carrie Goldman.
Yes, if you read the book from Lise Elliott, which is called Pink Brain, Blue Brain, you'll see that, yes, Sarah, it's true. Developmental psychologists have shown that toy choice among young children does have some stereotypes, that studies have shown that boys do gravitate towards masculine toys and girls towards more feminine toys. But what her point is that it's not about nature or nurture, but how, as Peggy Orenstein wrote in an article recently, nurture becomes nature. And so if we just pander to these differences and we say, yep, you're going to choose dolls, you're going to choose balls, and we let them do that, we miss out on an opportunity in these early years when their brains are so malleable to actually contradict their natural tendencies and promote some cross-sex toys, plays, friendships. And there's evidence that children who do play with these cross-sex toys actually do better down the road in leadership functions in the world.
Carrie, before we let you go, I just have to ask you, how did the Star Wars thing play out? What happened?
Oh, well, that's, yeah, sure. The way it played out is that we had to have some major bullying-related interventions. I'm writing a book that's coming out in August by HarperCollins that's called Bullied, and it's about how bullying has basically evolved in our culture. And not a small part of it is an exploration of stereotypes and how gender stereotypes in particular lead to these types of activities.
Well, come back and tell us about the book. But what happened with the Star Wars water bottle? Did I understand that she actually got a lot of good Star Wars swag out of this, because a lot of people were saying,
did.
I don't think so. I don't think so. What was the best thing that happened?
She received a lot of great things happened. You know, she got sent lightsabers and she received all kinds of Jedi toys. And we made friends, most importantly, with a lot of what are called geek girls. And those are girls who have interests in science, technology, math, gaming. And they've been very verbal in their support of girls like Katie, who are not necessarily mainstream.
Okay, well, come back and tell us about the book when that comes back. And I hope that's a date. But finally, we only have about a minute left, so I want to hear from each of you on this question. Look, lots of men are nurses. Many women are soldiers and service members serving in uniform, you know, on the front lines. Do you envision a day when we'll see that reflected in toys? And I'll go around. Sarah, how about
this
you?
This is Sarah.
Sarah?
Until there is a mass request for it from the consumer, I don't think we'll see as much of it reflected. And it's not that I wouldn't look for a gender-neutral toy. I have pushed gender-neutral toys on my children their whole lives. But all I can do, and this is sort of in response to the Peggy Orenstein thing and about nurturing, is that all nurturing can do is inhibit or facilitate what's already a natural behavior.
Okay. All right. Let's hear from everybody on this. So your boys are still grabbing Barbies and using them and pretending they're pistols. So, and shooting people with their feet. Okay. Rupa, very quickly.
Yeah. I'd love for there to be more, right? Because I have to go to the specialty, you know, Upper West Side store to get the European toy, which costs about 40% more than I would if I went to Toys R Us. So I would love there to be more. And I think that would change the dynamic, just accessibility.
Carrie, final thought?
I think Sarah's right that without a mass request, we probably won't see it. But that's why we have the opportunity to educate people and try and, you know, persuade people to think with different ways.
All right. Carrie Goldman is a mom of three girls and she blogs. She was with us from member station WBEZ in Chicago. Sarah Mazes is a mom of three, a 12-year-old daughter and also 8-year-old twins. She was with us from NPR West in Culver City, California. And Rupa Unnikrishnan is the mom of 8.5-year-old twins, a boy and a girl. She was with us from NPR's Bureau in New York. Ladies, moms, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thanks, everyone.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.